We wish you a very wonderful day or evening, wherever you are. Thank you for coming by. This is Thursday here. Where you are, it might be another day. But God loves you, and you're going to be ministered to, I believe, very strongly. Brother Freedom's here, and several of us are here, and we're waiting to see what the Lord's going to do. Father, thank you. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory and adoration. Thank you for blessing the listeners. Thank you for blessing and anointing Brother Freedom. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, we just come to you with a grateful heart, a heart of thanksgiving, just praising you and thanking you and giving you that glory, that honor that is worthy to you, the King of Kings, the Lord of glory. And I tell you, though maybe not everybody, but I praise you. I love you. And I thank you that you're real. I thank you that you're with me every moment of the day. I thank you as with me a little bit ago, making supper. All the things that only you can do. I thank you for letting me know that there was still a tomato in the refrigerator. You told me to make a salad. And I thought, well, it's not going to be for a second. But when you told me, says, there's another tomato. And I thank you, Lord, that you're always on top of all things. And you're so special. And I just want to tell you, listeners out there, wherever you are, that God is so wonderful. You just can't live. You can't do another day without him. He is wunderbar. He's glorious. He's okamashalaba. He's a glory. He is your friend. He's your source. He is your way maker. He is the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father in the wonderful name of Jesus. That wonderful name is higher. Lord, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you. What it is, a privilege. Oh, Lord, we thank you that he's building us a heavenly mansion that cannot even be described. It's without no understanding in this world. We cannot understand it. It's beyond our expectations. It's greater. And Father, we're going to see it very shortly because you're making room for those who have lived for you, those who have loved you, and you're having a great, wonderful feast. Hell, the marriage supper is going to be wonderful. Oh, Lord, we give you praise, we give you honor, and we thank you for this wonderful night. We thank you for this word that you're going to give, and it's going to be to the lowliest, to people like me, the simple ones. Father, just make this message so simple tonight that everybody will receive it with gladness. And thank you, Lord. We thank you that you're real. We thank you forever faithful. And Father, we thank you that you never fail. We thank you for that liberty that you give and only you give. And we thank you in the wonderful name of Jesus. To God be the glory. To God be all praise. To God be all honor. And we thank you in the wonderful name of Jesus. We ask that. Amen. Amen. We thank you, Holy Ghost. We thank you that you're real. God bless. Micah.
This is Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes.
You know, this is really something because God is really trying to get the church where we're hearing from him. And if you turn to Revelations, the third chapter and the last verse, the third chapter of Revelation, read that last verse. But it talks about the Holy Spirit being what we hear from. Are we hearing from him? Or when I come here tonight, the Lord told me we mostly hear from men. Now men's all right to a certain point, because men, what they're to get us to is to find Jesus. And that's the time there's for to let go and let God bring us into the fullness. You can't get in the fullness if they're dilly-dallying with you, playing with you. You're to help them. You're to support them. But they have a ministry. They have a ministry that's ordained by heaven. And they're to get the righteous, unrighteous shall be saved. And us to become believers, you become great helpers for them. Because you pray great prayers of faith. You pray with great adoration from heaven. You pray with the witness of God upon you in a mighty way. And you're not taken away from the church at all. You're just enhancing it. You're making it better. But the pastor has to learn that the Spirit of God will arrange this level to come into his level, to help him. Because you can't get people saved without the success unless you have the input. Because the Spirit, you cannot be saved unless the Spirit draws. That drawing comes as we fast and prayer and seek God's face and commit our lives unto him, that he moves mightily. He does it not through the way of the way of the world. He does it through might, by power, by the Spirit of God. Michael, would you read the Revelation, the third chapter and the last verse?
Revelation 3:22.
Yep.
He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.
He that hath ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You know, it's so necessary. In those last days, it's so necessary. But I was praying today, and I was at the gym. You know, I have to work out tremendously hard because to overcome what I'm faced with, it's not easy. I mean, my legs ache. It's really more than I thought I'd ever want to go through, but I'm willing to do it. Because God's shown this. This is when the church is. You're crippled. There was no might, no strength. And God just wants to help you. God wants to get be a winner in this last hour. You may, maybe all those years before might be done in vain. One day you can come out as a new, prosper from heaven. God never fails. He's on time. And I'll tell you, if you get out there and keep ministering where you are, you're going to fail. You're going to fall flat on your faces. In the name of Jesus. What you're doing is not wrong, but you need to incorporate God's Spirit with it. The call is right. And the longing is right. You got a desire. Most of all you have it, but you need to couple up. You know, you're just like the early, way back in Genesis. There was a lot of the early people on this earth. They had a one language. And they got to really, one was commenting about the other one. Pretty soon, God confounded. And they wanted to build them a stairway into heaven. And they was working at it. Well, I feel the glory of God here. I don't know whether you people all over can feel it. But just think about these people. And God actually said if he didn't stop them, they might do it. Look where we went with missiles. Look where we've spent millions of dollars sending people to the moon when God owns the moon. We may have learned a little bit of success and about metals and things like that. They've learned, those they have learned a little bit, but the actual force isn't that great. Because one of these days we're going to fly past the moon. And I'm going to see it. It's just, when I was in that dream, I mean, we just went by it like zipped. And God's faster than the eye. He's faster than we can imagine. And the Lord spoke today. He says, my people want to do things within themselves. Just like it was back in the book of Genesis. The Lord said they've learned how to bring revivals. They've learned how to do all the mechanical works to build a church. And they're doing pretty good. But it's not all according to the Spirit. So that's why when they have prayer meetings and things like that, they sort of fall flat on their face. And if you're Spirit filled, you see it. It's just like if you went out to some place and they was having trouble and you knew you was an expert in a certain field. When you got there, you spot the trouble before you got there. You ladies do work in offices. You know how to spot troubles, you know. And that's part of it. But that's what God does in the supernatural. Well, you might not believe it, but he has people, as he did in the old days, they're prophets, evangelists, teachers, but what they've done, they said there's nothing to it. So there's no basic from the church, there's no prophet, no evangelist, no teachers, none through the Spirit. So God had to raise up, I don't know, he maybe raised up a lot more people than me I don't know about. But literally he raised me up from a nobody, and I'm still nobody. And I never claimed to be anything. I want all of you up there. I'm on your level. We're both as beginners. And I have to seek God every day of my life. I have to remember as I take that pill, my thyroid, God give me a reminder. It'll be till I take you home. I feel the glory of God coming upon me. And you say, why do you go through these kind of things? Well, because God wants me to feel these things. He wants me to sympathize with his people. He wants me to care when his people's hurting. A couple of weeks ago, we had a young lady that we really was praying for. It touched my heart so, I don't know how to say this, but I'm saying this with love. I'd do it again. But I kept this lady on my mind for, I think, over 10 days, all the time. Oh, See, God wants, the church is born through times of prayer, through like bringing forth a child, that we, as we travail for the glory of God, that principalities and powers and wicked things down here dissolve with us. They put me out in themselves, but they can't do it as long as God is in me. See, when I'm like I am now, I can't hardly move, but I got plenty of power. It's all God wants me to have. I'm like Gideon. God took me, you know, here a year or so ago. I just knew I was zealous for God, real zealous, but I knew I had that much faith in God that I knew. God says, you can't have that. You got to have all of me. Is it not a crime for me? I have this, just like Kevin today. You stretch, 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 stretch. God says, you stretch. You learn to balance. And spiritually, we need to have a spiritual balance. We need a spiritual revival. And I'm going to come across it in a little bit, but the Bible, I'd like Michael to read that again, because I want all of you out there to hear it again as he reads it, because it's from heaven. We need to remember the little foxes come in to spoil the vines. They come, and that's what happens to our lives when we're young Christians. We get carried off in ourselves. You know, I've seen some pastors, young pastors, that after maybe 6 months, they was way ahead of you. But they weren't. But they thought they were. This is what's the devilish part. The enemy will let you believe it. And you're not fit. You're not ready for a walk with God. And especially being the pastor, nowadays there's not such a thing as very few evangelists even. So you got the whole load upon you, and you're, the Bible says, not a novice. And you're as strictly a novice. You're not moved out by God's Spirit. Where the Lord's Spirit is, there is liberty. There's power. There's blessing. Go ahead, Micah.
Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. For our vines have tender grapes.
Our vines have tender grapes. You know, I was thinking about all the things I've heard in the Lord's house. The Lord told me to be honest if I told them, because they're very truthful. But there are things not to do in church. I remember one time this lady, she was probably the star of the church, if you can have it that way. But most of those old churches, I mean, there's some people just shine up bigger and maybe have more clout with the pastor and, you know, more of that. Well, she came in this prayer request. I remember hearing it. It's on a Wednesday night. She says, I'll tell you, I want all you people, be sure to pray for me and Earl, because that cow, when we take it to the auction, we want to get top dollars on that cow, and it's got pink eye, you know. And I've seen others have an old junky car, and they don't tell you the truth about the car. See, that's deception. God don't need that. We don't need it. I remember an overseer came, and I was at this meeting. He says, I got this certain pastor, and he's down in our headquarters, which is way back east, and it's going to be about $3,000 they figured to get him from where we were. Not that much to get him there with he and his family. And he said it, not the people. I was just a spectator there, basically. And he says, you know, folks, if you'll take this, I guarantee you, you won't be charged for it. We will assume all of the expense. That's the words he said. We need to be careful by our words. We need to be careful how we handle our words. We must remember their life or their death. Our words are the lifeline that God gives us. That's why we have to walk in truth. We walk in humility. You know, humbling ourselves is something that most people do not want to do. And I'm not picking on young pastors, but I would love to have a school for them. It could have been if they had listened, but they wouldn't listen. They'd already arrived. God, let me learn to the power of the Holy Ghost. But God was very tender, very understanding. very more understanding than people are. And he'd tell me why, and why it would, why it wouldn't, and it could or might not do nothing. He would tell me all those things. It's just like today, I heard, it may not come to pass, but, you know, he certainly said I was talking about, thought about Steve and Roger when I'm on this, going to be on this fire alert. The Lord just let me know that maybe at midnight or so, they might have to be going out on the highway. I don't know what'll come to pass. But I hear those things because God moves through the Spirit. Now, moving through the Spirit is different than moving through the anointing. Now, here tonight is somewhat the anointing and it's somewhat the Spirit of God matching up together, which God does that. It's partly from my endeavor and the main part from the Lord. But in the anointing, when the unction from the anointing comes upon you, it's not by you. And I come against these pastors, I guarantee you, it's not by God. You're doing something God didn't tell you to. He says either add it or take it away, his part. So if I make it out here and start being judgmental about people reading the Bible, they're doing the same thing themselves they've already done in a greater manner. And so they're guilty of things that they come on the people about, the people don't even know about, basically, and they're very uptight because they don't know how they've become a failure because of the man of cross has come and told them they're a failure. When it was after a turnaround, it was God be really merciful to you. He said, you know, my child, if you just do it my way, it'll be so beneficial for you. And you'll see it. You'll see it to the, you say, oh, why didn't I see that, Lord? And you'll make you so happy. And you're not going to be sad because someone has imparted something into you that wasn't supposed to be. You're receiving a truth from God. And the other truth is coming from man. And sometimes men have a way of bringing hindrances into your heart. All right, I want to finish up about this. It's even overseer. So it went on about 8 months. And this pastor that came was a gym dandy. He was a gym dandy. He had a bunch of kids. And these kids were pretty wild. He didn't know it, but they were wild. And everybody else's kids, he was on everybody. He was on my kids because my kids were away from home at the time. And they were 21, so I could not force them, which I never had forced them. They had this love. You don't serve God out of forcing. You serve Him because you love Him. Oh, come and see that you love Him. You praise Him because you love to praise Him. You don't praise Him because someone tells you to praise Him. You shouldn't have that. I just praise you because you're real, Lord. I just love you. Who come and see you? You're glorious. You're glorious. You're wonderful. It should come out of our heart. It should come out of our inner man. This inner man is so alive. And this inner man gets like pinned up. This inner man starts starving itself out. And pretty soon this inner man is lifeless. This inner man gets like, when I had that stroke, can't do nothing. But it's a way of getting set free, and that's praising God. Lift those holy hands out all over the world tonight. Lift them. Lift them and praise God. And then come on, see, praise Him right now, and God will come upon you. He'll uplift you. He'll pray until you pray through. Pray till God's glory comes on you. You can have that avalanche of God's glory in your heart. And it's there. It's real. It's for you. It's beneficial for you. It'll make your faces shine. It'll help you. You know, we need to make our faces shine by the Spirit of God. We need another glory cloud upon us. We need the glory of the Lord. We're excited because God is great. But we have these hang-ups. The Bible says, lay aside every weight and sin that so easily beset us. And help us run that race with patience. We know patience is a great start in walking with the Lord. I'm going back to my story now before I forget it. No, I'll get back there. This pastor came with his kids and he was quite a fellow. He came down to my shop and he would just work on you. And so you just try to, I told him, I said, oh, he said, Brother Brigham, you don't have no trouble. And I said, oh, I'm full of troubles. I said, I've had troubles. I've always had that tendency with me, which took God's, I've overcome it. But it's there that always didn't feel like I did good enough. When I did something, I'd always even actually want to tear it back down. And I had that wasn't right. And I told him, and he goes right the next Sunday morning and just flies all over the church about how that this Brother Freedom was messed up, and basically that's what he said. And then he come back and wants you to pat him on the back and all that stuff. You know, this sort of hurt after a while. So then he started telling about my kids, you know, how they're, and those things. And I never did come on him. He was a pastor. I just let him have his own way. In the meantime, this overseer came to church and he told the pastor the church is going to have to pay that $3,000 back. And he says, you better tell your men to get ready because they're going to pay. And so when I heard about it, he came out and he told me. And I says, Pastor, God hasn't spoken to me yet, but I said, I know that the church is not supposed to pay this. Well, you don't know that. I said, yes, I do. Well, you can't know that. I said, well, it doesn't make any difference. Whatever the Lord tells me, I'm going to stand on that. I'm not going to go your way, overseer's way. This other man, Doug, so mine, and they're horrible, and some of these other people. I said, I'm not a men pleaser. But men pleasers is a serious, we get in trouble, every one of us. We can't even be a good cat mechanic if I'm a men pleaser. I remember one time years ago, I was in a certain city from here, north of here, and I was going to work there, and I was about 1960, and I was a young mechanic, or young, had operated actually, and I went on this Howard Cooper Corporation's name. And they had a TV-18 in there, but I didn't know it. But it never run. They had three or four different mechanics on it. So when I started to work on it, I never will forget that morning, all these men come up and started telling me what was wrong with it. Well, you know what I had to do? I had to discard everything that they said and go God's way. I had, even in my own thinking, I had to use what God had given me. I couldn't rely on someone else. That's probably the biggest truth. Those fellows would never got it running. God showed me exactly what was wrong. And the thing ran up, and it ran up so good, and that shop foreman was just delayed. And after that, I mean, he started putting me on key jobs. And here I was, about 20-some years old, just a young kid. I remember I told some people they had a forklift, an old Gerlinger forklift. They could not make the hydraulics work on it. These men, when you go against God, you know, you can have all the know-how you think, but you can't compete with God. If it proved out in the work field, I know God's field is bigger and more vital than the work field. So if I can work for God for years and not even know where I'm going to work and God order me to work, never be wrong one time, that's a pretty good record. But it actually happened. I never got in any trouble. But my company didn't know it because the Lord says, don't tell them. Because I'll make you look good. The Lord said, I'll make you look, and he did. But he wishes to make you all out there look good. You need to get that in your spirit tonight. God wants to make you look good to the world. That you have a testimony, an example to work for him, for his vineyard. Because the little foxes are coming down and hindering our ministries of doubt, unbelief, wrong spirits. And we're trying to get a ministry when God says, hey, you haven't got any what we're made of, our character. See, we got a character. You know, God just wants us to have a good character. You know, I'm nothing special. I just work on my character. I'm just a simple nobody. But God takes a simple somebody, and he confounds all of them because he's God. Because I said I will. And that's all God wants. I will. And God will help you. He'll satisfy you. He'll make you ever so happy. And you'll be so thrilled. So satisfied. Your life without him. I was a failure. And I stayed a failure. And even that, I've still been a failure. But he and my failures brought me through it. And I can say today, I am an overcomer. Can you find that scripture? Would you read, please?
Ephesians 6:6, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart.
Boy, isn't that wonderful? Boy, not men pleasers. Read it again.
not with eye service, as men pleasers.
Now, what we do with our eyes, we try to get people to look at us where we're dressed as we're somebody wonderful. You know, that overseer didn't know it, but he was really cutting some wrong notches in his belt. I think he had a heart attack, and I think he died. But God, when you work for the Lord, He can lengthen your life, or He can also shorten your life. It's us, it behooves us which way we want to go. God will give us in Psalms, the 91st, the 91, the last verse.
Psalm 91, 16, with long life will I satisfy Him and show Him my salvation.
Oh, isn't that wonderful? Just fits perfect. Might as well, yeah, I've been having you over there all the time. I mean, boring. But that's where it should be. Glory. See, I'm not a reader. God knows that's my weakness. So, Michael, God bless you. That is wonderful. But God is in the business of changing our life from gory. We're all gory into glory. Now, I went to a seminar one time, a 7 Steps to Victory. I didn't know very much in the Lord at that time. It was just about 1977. And God had really touched me. And so I was really seeking. You know, we've got to start seeking for God to do something with us. He expects us to pursue Him. He expects us to pursue Him with longing. But we can't live without Him. Have that kind of pursuit. Lord, I can't make it without You. And He'll bless you. He'll make His face to shine upon you. He will touch you in a mighty way. You know, He'll take away the pain. You know, I haven't got a bit of pain in my body tonight. When I come, I have pain. God's supernatural, wonderful. You know, and I don't mind going back in pain because God wants to prove His point to His people that He's all power. Cause my faith even greater. Janet's greater. I can have someone say, well, you know, you should be healed up. No, I have allergies, troubles. I know God healed me, but I have to live through it. I have to help others who are sort of having trouble spiritually breathing. Because I know what it is to not get air. And spiritually, when we don't get enough air, we get our blood, the measurements on our blood, we get way down below 95. It's not good. So when we get our blood up to the right, I've learned this in class too. We got a good instructor, and Lord just give me great insight that I never knew before. But God's with it. I told him today, his instructor, I said, you know, God sent you to me. I said that my steps are ordered by the Lord. I said, Kevin, thank you very much. I was a dead person, but I'm getting alive. My nerves are all coming back to normal. God's doing something supernaturally, but it's also through my working on it. If we don't work on it every day, we're going to lose it. I heard that today. If you don't work on it every day, you lose it. You do it far as a leave it a week, you've lost a week. Now I know why when I went back to Louisiana, when I come back, I had to start over again. I lost it. It's been hard starting back over. And we as God's people need to recognize we're truthful with ourselves, and we got to be truthful with the Lord. I'm not in that kind of condition. And Lord, I want you out there, all the world, God, I wish, Lord, you're praying. I want you to come in my life, and I want you to move upon me, take away all those things that's not pleasing to thy eyes this night. Remove those cankerworms, those sins of omission, all those oppression, the disgusting things from the enemy, that I'll be totally set free. But I'll walk in victory. I'll walk in His pardon. I'll walk in His love. I'll walk in His ability. I'll walk with His loving kindness flowing over the top of me. The glory of God is coming down. The glory of God is coming upon you. He's going to flood you with the glory. And the little foxes no longer can have you. God's going to set you free that you'll be a champion in the Lord. He'll make you more than conquerors through Jesus, which loves you. Jesus cannot fail. And we stay in the hand of Jesus. We cannot fail. With the Holy Ghost is in us, God got the Holy Ghost within us, and we walk in the under the provisions of Jesus, God, and the Holy, and God of heaven sees us right where we are continually. He knows where we are all the time. And you're in very good hands. You know, and all state to the side, say, you're in good hands. Well, God's got you in good hands. He is the way, the truth, and life. No one comes unto the Father but by Him. We're our Lord that conquers through Him which loved us. I'm persuaded neither life, nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, neither all your hang-ups, the things present, neither height nor depth nor any other thing shall separate. Pray that you, nothing going to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Micah, read in Psalms 2 verses up, same place.
Because He hath set His love upon me.
He said He set His love upon me. That's what we do. We set our love upon the Lord. We have to learn to set on man. We set our love on the Lord. Go ahead, Micah. This is glorious.
Therefore will I deliver him.
Therefore I will deliver him. That's the pudding. That's the proof. God will set you free. You're more than conquered. God has moved in you mightily. And you need to be set free this night by the Spirit of God. God's here to revive you, to bring you back to life like I've been brought back to life. My face is coming back where I feel. And I was a little bit concerned. I thought, well, maybe I'd just go home pretty soon. But I think God's going to keep me here where I'll be ready to go through the clouds of glory. Either way it goes, I'm ready. But if He wants me to stay a while, I'm having too much fun right now to leave. I'm having fun. And out there, you can have fun. Join with us. Join with us. Would you please read those three verses together, or all of them, and I'll keep quiet.
Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Read that one more time because that's what the message is.
Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
See, God's going to give me longer life. He's going to give you longer life. He wants you to have strength in this last hour. He don't want you to be a wimp no longer. He wants you to be strong. Read Ephesians 6, I think verse 10. Be ye strong in the Lord and power of might. I want Micah to read it because I've heard it. We need to be strong in the Lord and the power of might.
Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might.
See, it works with Micah. Yeah, go on. Keep going.
Put on the whole armor of God, that he may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
Yes. They will be able to stand. That's all of you out there. We can stand. There is no temptation taking you by much as common man, for God will support you. He will uplift you. He will heal you in the wonderful name of Jesus. Go ahead, Micah.
For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places.
Stop for just a minute. That overseer, see, he was supposed to be a real, real high, he had high calling. In a very special spot. And we can all do that. We can get out of kilter with God. I'm not going to write him down. But he was not where he should be. Because God shouldn't have had to come out and get a hold of a little old boy like me and say, hey, you tell him how it is. See, God sees our downsettings, our uprisings. With that, he helps us to be very on keel, on a straight level, with no ups or down. We have a straight curve. We're not a graph. It would be straight through. And life should get to where we sort of actually, we're on the incline all the time. We're not any farther than we can handle. But the incline is like being on a treadmill. You don't like let off and you just keep it going. Because our steps are always up. And once you get to where you're down, you're going to fail. You got to keep going up. I'll stumble if I got to keep pushing myself. I got to keep entering that race, that high calling that Apostle Paul talked about, that everlasting power of God upon us, that we can be that recipient of God's glory, that we can walk in His splendor, in the good things. You know, we should be able to help people along God's way. We should have enough charisma in us that we can bring the glory down at any time. And I'm not belittling nobody. If you can't do it, just use these tapes, whatever it is, until you can do it. But start exercising and God will start letting you grow where you are. But I would say this, don't force anything of the Lord that's in yourself, because that is where we make great mistakes. Don't do anything that would jeopardize your standard with God. God wants you to stay above reproach. And you start doing that, you're not above reproach. You're failing. And you're failing fast. And that fast failing will cause you, if God didn't permit, you'll go off to eternity losing your crown, losing that blessing, that wonderful salvation only you can have, only you can enjoy. It's not for anyone else. It's for you. That salvation is for you. It's not for no one. It's for you. That salvation is for you. It's nobody else. It's yours. You hang on to that. You don't let nobody steal your crown. You don't let nobody take what God's given you. You stand in awe of Him. And you have that faith, it's all going to work out. You have that trust that my Father never fails. The enemy can come to kill, destroy, and steal, but God has come to give me life and give me more abundant life. He will give me more power, more wisdom, more anointing, a blessing above blessings. He will do that completely. Brother Michael, would you read the lesson?
Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit.
That's it. See it, have helmet of salvation, the word of God, and then praying, it's right there. Can't miss it. That's what puts your seal on you. When you stayed in the word all day and you prayed all day, well then you need to have that time. It is that delight that delights the heart of God, because you're not knowing what you're saying and your communication is coming from Him. It's not coming from man. If you want to know the answer, pray in the Spirit and you'll know. When God gave me that formula as a mechanic, I'd go from like here to a city which is east of here. It's about 220 miles. When I get there, when I pray in the Spirit for that actually 2 hours, I knew exactly what I was going to do before I got there. Spirit's that powerful. It's nothing I did. It's nothing. But God's powerful. It's like God gives you a treasure made out of earthly vessels, but it's the Spirit of God that brings it into reality. David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." When we hide God's word in our heart, we have a reinforcement from us that God can move upon us supernaturally with His Holy Spirit. He comes upon us at times you won't even remember, but He'll bring it out at that right time. Maybe this came out years ago. Doesn't make any difference. God moves through the Spirit. He never misses a lick. And out there tonight, if there's any skeptics, you just need to get yourself in tune with God. God will set you free. God will make you more than conquerors through Him which loved you. And Micah, thank you very, very much for reading that wonderful word. I just pray that God will bless you, move upon you in a mighty way. In closing, some out there, not here, but there's places where you sort of guard your ties. You guard. The more you give to God, the more that God will give back to you. It's just the way that God does it. So if you really want to get blessed, God blesses through giving. I've never, this is the last I'll say about it, but it's part of the growth. It's the only reason I put it in, because it's part of it. God expects you to give a tenth of your, not of what you gross, but of the net. He's supposed to have a tenth of it. So if you, if it costs you $9,000 for expenses, you made $900, you just pay tithes of $900. It's pretty simple. God is not a hard taskmaster, because He gives the increase and He helps us with all we do, with our, all the things in life that we fret about. You know, Christians can also, I'm going to say something before I quit, but Christians, it's not until God can feel like that God owes him something. And I never in my life have asked for anything. But I know a young man, he's notorious. He had a little D2. He brought it by my shop. I told my son, I said, you know what? He wants me to put that pivot shaft in that D2 and I'm not going to do it. So I called him up and I says, you know, brother, I don't know why you brought that little D2 by because, boy, he says, the Lord told me you was going to do it. I said, the Lord didn't tell me. I says, you're presuming on God and you learning to learn to pay your way. I said, you never pay your own way. And that's the first thing on being a new Christian. You learn to not be a drag or something on somebody else. You learn to carry your own weight. We grow into perfection, but that's a starting. And I see Christians are not mature in that area. They want to withhold. They want to say that they're really, but God's the one that ministers to us, all of us. And that's why we all need to be led by the Spirit. God is real. He'll bless you. And like that, this is something simple, but there was a tomato in the icebox. I knew there wasn't. I didn't think there was a tomato in there. And the Lord spoke to me and said, look there and look in the bottom drawer. And there it was. If I hadn't used it, it would have been pretty soon spoiled. So God wanted me to use it. So God even helps us in our simple little thinking. You know, things that we take so casual, like a D7 starting engine. You know, people say, well, you know, they're not doing God. Overhaul it, that's like nothing. But really, why he overhauled it? Because the young fellow that did it was in big trouble. That's why God did it, because he was saying what he said, that Brother Freedom will pray for it, I know it'll be right. Way back there. That's why he had that faith. And the Lord said, go ahead and pray for it. And I, well, and when they sold that machine at a sale 2 years later, auction, I heard these men talking about it. I said, boy, that 46A, that old 46A has really got a good start. I really had to laugh to myself. I said, Lord, you did such a wonderful job. I said, it's absolutely, probably it's got gold birds, and I don't know. You don't think it's really arrived, because we never arrived. We're always earnestly seeking God. We have that tender love of compassion that flows out of our innermost being at all times. We pray that people are going to be touched, that people's lives are going to be changed, and we don't never pray against people. You know this old adage years ago, well, we're going to pray that. No, I don't never pray that way. I'm very careful how I pray. And I know there's some Pentecostals that pray that I didn't want them praying for me, because I know what they prayed for when I was sick. The Lord showed me what they was praying. They was praying because they didn't know what God was doing with them. But they had their minds made up that they knew. And that's what we do in ourselves. We make our minds up that we know when we really don't know. See, God is not the author of confusion. He is real. God bless you all. Pray that God will bless you this night. If you need a touch from God, call in. Talk to my brother Clint and he will pray for you, whatever your need is. But I would really like you to encourage you this night to seek God. Seek him for your anger. Seek him for the things that bother you through lust. Through the hateful things that you have. When you act, understand why you hate people. When you can't stand sometimes people. When people start to rough you, rub your feathers wrong. That's a time to pray about it. That's time to seek God and say, why am I ruffled when people say things against me? I shouldn't bother me a bit. We should be like a duck that don't even disclose of our being when he says something about it. That's good. That's good. He's leaving other people alone. We got to do that. Don't retain nothing within you. Don't let no hidden thing surmise thee where thou hast no power. It'll come upon you as a victim. Not from the Lord, but from the enemy to take away, to kill, destroy, and steal what God has made within you. He uses that tool to come against you. But remember, we and you and we all are more than conquerors through him which loves us. God bless you. I pray that God will bless you mightily. And Mike, I thank you so much tonight. It was so much better than I could have done. And I praise God. Oh, would you like to close in prayer?
Lord, we just want to thank you for what you've done here tonight and how you're ministering to each one of us through these words from heaven. Lord God. And we pray that you would touch the people out there mightily, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you. That was wonderful. Thank you.